This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Ladies, I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
General Motors has put themselves in an awkward bind because while they sell more cars in Japan, they don't make any money off those cars. All the money they make, it comes from America. Americans buying big, giant SUVs and trucks. So they're in a pretty awkward position. They've had some clumsy handling, announcing the closing of plants 2 weeks before Christmas, that kind of stuff.
The president picking up the phone and berating the CEO, kind of.
Yeah, well, Mary Barr just met with the president weeks ago. Now, here's an interesting thing, though, too. General Motors also, though, getting more public as well. They're saying, listen, we've made a pretty good offer. $7 billion in new investments, 5,400 jobs, higher paying jobs, and we will reopen some of these idle plants.
Charles Payne reacting to the announcement that the United Auto Workers would be on strike as of this morning, and haven't heard about a massive strike like this in quite some time. We're going to see if we can connect here with Stephen Moore in just a minute, but it says, and according to this Axios report, it's the first UAW strike in 12 years.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we had the big, it was a big part of the legislative session this year, getting the deal to keep GM, to keep the plant here in Wentzville. You know, a big debate over tax incentives and, you know, corporate tax incentives and that whole thing. And it was a big win for the governor. And it, you know, looked like it had secured thousands of jobs in the area and all that. And you know, just when you think that that issue has been put to bed and we can move on, suddenly that plant in Wentzville is back in the news, along with General Motor plants all over the country. 3,500 people affected in Wentzville, 3,500 workers, and more than 12,000 workers across the entire state of Missouri are affected by this strike, which is nationwide. And the two sides are reportedly back to negotiations today, but reports earlier this morning from union officials said that the two sides were still pretty far apart. So I haven't heard anything since several hours ago if that gap has been closed at all. But yeah,
sucks. Listen to this tweet from President Trump. Here we go again with General Motors and the United Auto Workers. Get together and make a deal. I think that's actually a pretty constructive tweet. And he's not isolating anybody.
And it was concise.
I had a message to the Facebook page maybe last week, and it was about I don't know if it was being labeled completely a missed opportunity, but referring to the massive amount of union workers who support this president and how that needs to be like, it needs to be talked about because it's a big friggin' deal.
Yeah. I've been saying that for years and big time since the 2016 election. There's a big block of voters for Republicans sitting there if they can find a way to be friends with the unions. Because I just personally know, and we've had many people call this show and talk union members that line up with the Republican Party on many of the issues when it comes to the military, when it comes to the Second Amendment.
When you hear Beto O'Rourke saying on a Democratic primary stage, hell yes, we're going to take your guns.
Yeah.
What percentage of union workers are going, hell no, you're not.
Right.
You know?
Right. But the Republicans have done a very bad job of courting the union vote. And you know, in fact, have pushed things that are very anti-union. And so that keeps some of these folks that otherwise would line up with Republican values and candidates have kept them away. And if they could, I feel like that could be a game changer if there was some way for the two sides to get along and work together.
314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. If you'd like to call us, I'd love to hear from some people who are union workers who are on either side of it. Like, I will never vote for a Republican in my life for whatever particular reason you want to tell us. Or if you're somebody who is a, you know, maybe you're not ready to refer to yourself as a Republican, but there's something about the Democratic Party today that has you disenchanted, or something about what Trump is doing in the Oval Office that has you enchanted. So give us a call at 314-241-9797. We can take some of those phone calls. I think it's interesting, too, the reaction that I tend to get from people if we talk about this issue is there is a big difference between the members of the union and the union leadership.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that union leadership is likely not going to change anytime soon. However, the union faithful, those people who do love their union, they're not looking for it to be dissembled. They're not right-to-work people, but they are strong Second Amendment individuals. They love what this president is doing for the economy. I mean, think about the people who are building our country, and think about how much more work there is for them to do when the economy is the way it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
When people have the ability to invest in things and put these union workers to work, that's good for them. And I bet you a lot of them can see the difference. I was one of the times I was getting gas right here on Tucker at the Zoom in downtown St. Louis on the Missouri side. Somebody said my name while I was going to get gas and they recognized me. And I say that because that never happens, or it doesn't happen very often that I get recognized. So this is not like a big shot thing. It does not happen very often at all. And he goes, he said, Annie? And I kind of turned and looked at him and he goes, are you Annie Fry? And I said, yes, I am. And he goes, I want to shake your hand. I listen to your show all the time. I work at Granite City Steel and I come over here to get my gas. And he was talking about being a union worker. I go, do your coworkers support this president? He goes, every one of them.
Wow.
And I go, do they talk about it? He goes, we talk about it.
Yeah.
But it's not something that is, you know, being put out there for people to receive from the union. But you talk to them on a case-by-case basis, on an individual basis, and there's something that is resounding with them that's taking place right now in the United States. So if you'd like to call us, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. Love to talk to you on this issue. If you're union, or if you know someone who's union and you're absolutely for the president, or if you can't stand him, I'd love to take your call. Let's start with Keith here. Keith, thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Going fine. Appreciate you calling in.
Hey, I can vouch for your story. I worked at U.S. Steel as a union contractor for 6+ years, and the amount of Trump stickers on U.S. Steel workers' hard hats was amazing to me.
On the hard hats?
20-year. Yeah, on the hard hats. And some guys got paraded for it, not from, from other contractors and whatnot, including myself, but as a 20-year union member, I've been a Republican my whole life. I was raised Republican, and I live in Missouri, worked in Illinois, and I can say the only Democrat I've ever voted for is Jay Nixon, because he said he would push down right to work, and he did.
Yeah.
And if we could, I agree, if we could get together on this subject, more of my union brothers' beliefs align with conservative values, conservative views, conservative viewpoints, and of business and otherwise, and we could get together, it would be a huge, huge difference.
Keith, before I let you go, is there a particular thing that the Republican Party is doing, let's say right now, at this very moment, that is making it too difficult for those union workers to, you know, fully commit to the Republican side?
Supporting right to work, would that be one of them?
That would be the biggest, especially in Missouri. That is the biggest in Missouri. When I hear, you know, Tim Jones is a great guy, but when I hear him pushing the way he does, it's like, I don't think you understand, bud. I don't think you understand. There's, you know.
So right to work is a deal breaker. I believe
the right to organize is a constitutional right. And when you put the individual against big business, you're basically putting them against big government.
Is there anything other than the right to work issue that's a deal breaker for these people?
I know a lot of guys had problems with the tax breaks as far as being able to write off certain things. That was pretty huge. That kind of offset what should have been a positive on the tax breaks, things that you couldn't write off, including your state taxes. A lot of guys are very unhappy with that.
Okay. All right, Keith, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Good stuff.
Let's get to Chuck. Chuck, thanks for calling the show.
How you doing, Andy?
Doing fine.
Hey, I'm your friendly liberal, and I'm a union farmer, and Donald Trump said that he doesn't like, he thinks I make too much money, and he would sign a national right to work if it came across his desk. And the same thing that Keith just said on the taxes.
Hey, Chuck, real quick, before you go on, because I want to get to your other point, and I'm not challenging on this. I'm asking you out of genuine interest. What did Trump say about you making too much money?
He's made that statement in the past, and it's documented that he said union workers make too much money. And he said he'd sign an ask for a right to work because he thinks we make too much money.
I've never heard that statement. I'm not saying it's not true. I haven't heard every exact thing that Donald Trump has said. But
I'll tell you what. I'll go to your Facebook page and I'll post it on there.
Send it to us on the Facebook page. Chuck, do you know if he was talking about public and private unions when he made that comment?
I don't think he made that distinction. No.
Okay, and let me ask you this one other question. Do you see any difference in publicly funded unions and versus like public tax dollar funded unions and private worker unions?
No, I really don't. No, I think unions are the backbones of our country. I think that's what made the middle class. And when we had strong union membership, we had a strong middle class. Mm-hmm. And the decline of the unions when Ronald Reagan started his attack on them, we've had a decline of the middle class. And I think there's a definite correlation there.
Awesome. Well, Chuck, thank you for the phone call. Send that to the Facebook page. I'd love to see it. Appreciate you.
Will do.
Yep. 314-241-9797 if you want to give us a ring. I'm going to get to one more phone call before we take a break. Jerry, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine. Thanks for calling.
Hey, yeah, I was just going to say most of my unions pretty Republican. I mean, we work on all the military equipment all over Missouri.
Yeah.
And ACT, yeah. We're pretty solid Republican, but I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand with the military.
Yeah, Jerry, what are the issues that really pull people that direction?
The military, pretty much.
Military?
I mean, yeah, we just get sick of VA crapped on year after year. Yeah. I mean, during Obama, I mean, we never got a raise. We've been getting raises now. But we were doing longer hours and, you know, less pay, basically.
Awesome.
And now we're getting taken care of.
Yeah, that's a great call. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling the show.
The website UAW.org posted an article in 2016 supporting...
This came from a union website.
Correct. This was their official endorsement of Hillary Clinton and... in the article, they say that the candidate who will best support us is Secretary Clinton. And earlier in the article, it says that it's quoted, this again from UAW.org, Donald Trump said in Detroit during the Michigan primary election that he would close Ford plants in Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, and Kansas, and then tell workers if they want their jobs back to come back for less money.
Sounds like a politically stupid thing to say.
Yeah. And
in a primary.
And again, you know, this quote is not from him. This is a quote from
the union auto workers.
Yes, union auto workers that wrote this article that is claiming to have seen or heard it in a meeting.
Yeah, so. I love these types of things because clearly that is a union talking point. And if it's a union talking point because Donald Trump put it on a tee for them, then okay, then it's a union, you know, go for it. I understand that. But I want to see the context of this conversation. And if the president said that, I think that's a dumb thing to say. And mm-hmm. now he's probably lost voters over it, specifically if we've got callers in here who remember that from all the way back then. We can continue this conversation in just a few minutes here at 314-241-9797. If you're a union worker and you found yourself supporting the Republican Party a little bit more because of Trump or because of specific political issues, I'd love to hear from you. If you're a union worker and you think Donald Trump's the worst thing for the future of this country, I want to hear from you as well. 314-241-9797. We'll have this conversation as soon as we come back. But stick around for sure. At 1:40, we're going to be speaking with Molly Hemingway. She's the author of Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation, and The Future of the Supreme Court. And she is going to address these Kavanaugh allegations that have been drummed up over the weekend. And we'll talk about that little update that the New York Times added in late last night. Kind of under the radar, even. Well, not under the radar here on the Annie Fry Show. We'll talk with Molly at 1:40, and we'll take your phone calls when we come back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Great to be with you. Looks like a beautiful Monday out there. Once again, so I've explained this before. I have a sheet in front of me every day, and it says, mm-hmm. this is the lineup for today. I can know what to tell you is coming up. Like in 10 minutes, we're going to speak with Molly Hemingway. Katie's just, last week it was Wednesday, and I looked down and it said Monday, and I'm like, for a second, I was jarred. I'm like, I put so much work into this week already. This it's only rad. Monday. Now it says it's Friday. That is not true.
What day is it?
That is fake news.
Fake news, guys.
Not news at all. Molly Hemingway is going to join us here at 1:40, and she authored a book, co-authored a book about Brett Kavanaugh and the entire process that took place. Was that like a year ago, year and a half ago? I don't know. It's called Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation and the Future of the Supreme Court. I'm getting a lot of messages from people on the Facebook page at facebook.com/Annie Fry Show about this issue. So I'm really looking forward to talking to her and asking her some of these basic questions.
She's the perfect person to have on today.
She is. I said to Katie, I'm like, what if we could get Molly Hemingway on? She's like, okay, I'll try. And then she's like, Molly's going to be on with, I'm like, are you serious? Girl, you're good.
That was great timing.
Yeah. September for me is a weird month. Ever since I got married in 2007, September has been, it was like a month that I always looked forward to for that year. And when you're putting your wedding together and you're getting everything ready, you have all this anticipation up for September. I always have this false feeling in my brain and in my like bones that September is supposed to be fall.
Mm-hmm.
The bridesmaids' dresses were this beautiful scarlet red with a pale yellow sash on them. And they were pretty, like, very simple, nothing crazy. And the colors were all fall colors. And that my wedding day was actually 70 degrees or so, but you go out in the middle of September and you're like, oh, it looks so beautiful in fall. And you get out and you're like, ah,
it's 90.
Yeah.
It's hot.
It's pretty ridiculous. So hopefully you're enjoying it. And I look forward to being able to be outside, but in the meantime, it's freezing in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely freezing. I'm watching the reactions that are taking place still from the Democratic debate that took place last week. And I'm still not seeing any buzz around anybody. I don't know if, do you remember Barack Obama's election? Did you pay attention to that? How old were you? Were you in high school?
I was in high school. Yep. High school and college.
So when President Obama was running against John McCain, there was buzz around two people, Barack Obama and Sarah Palin. John McCain was at the top of the ticket, but Sarah Palin was the interesting piece, the new thing, the where did she come from? And she spoke differently and she talked about things differently and she kind of didn't care. And she gave, in my opinion, a new face, literally a new face to what Republicanism was. Since then, John McCain has said that he really regretted having her be on the ticket, that was a mistake. And to my knowledge, I don't think Sarah Palin's ever come out and disrespected John McCain back in that way at all. But did you see recently that the Palins got divorced?
Yes.
Filed for divorce?
I did. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty
crazy.
Crazy. Out of nowhere. Sarah Palin is one of those people who today, like, everyone has an opinion on Sarah Palin. People love her or hate her. I have never gone away from liking and respecting her. I don't know what her ultimate contribution to history is going to be, but I think she absolutely got railroaded by a media that was just starting to come into its own. The power, the muscle that is flexed by this media that we take in every day. Sarah Palin, I think, got the brunt of that.
Crushed by it.
Tina Fey's version of her, you know, I can see Russia from my house. Sarah Palin never said that. She said that you can see Russia from her state, which is actually true. And the irony of that is Sarah Palin talking about the potential threat that Russia could be to our country. Fast forward 4 years to Mitt Romney being in a debate with Barack Obama and asked about what kind of foreign policy threats do you think are the most concerning to the United States. And he was talking about Russia, and Barack Obama made fun of Mitt Romney and said, like, the 1980s called and want their foreign policy back. And then in 2016, Russia was the biggest enemy of the country ever. And of course, Donald Trump was working with him, except for that never happened. It's interesting to me to see how Sarah Palin really, really roped the media and entertainment industry and wrapped it all up together. And Barack Obama was a great candidate. He was much more interesting and much more compelling from a surface level view, which is what you need in an election, because the politicos, the people, you know, maybe you sitting eating lunch at your desk right now, or if you're driving through, you know, St. Louis somewhere and you've got us on the radio, you're engaged. You know what's going on. You know what's going on enough to know that you need to pay extra attention on one day, and you can kind of let go of the reins a little bit on another day. But in an election year, leading up to a presidential election, you have to have something extra, something more, something captivating, and have the charisma that just makes people turn their head every single time you're in the room, you're on the television, you're on the radio. Your presence needs to be the most important thing to most people most of the time. Obama had that. Sarah Palin had that in a way that was eventually potentially counterproductive to her. I don't see any of that on this Democratic stage.
And we didn't see it in Hillary Clinton either.
Correct. Hillary walked into the 2016 race as though everything had been laid down in front of her, and she was just walking along the path that she was supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama came onto the scene like he was knocking down any barrier, any burden that existed before. He was willing to take and persuade people that he was going to be the person who was going to create this new thing. This is a trailblazer, a bellwether. He said he was going to fundamentally change the United States of America. He campaigned on the idea of hope, which, if you're campaigning on the idea of hope, that means that if you don't elect him, you're going to lose hope, or you're not going to have hope and change. And he's the one who said fundamentally transform the United States of America. He was going to do that by doing things like universalizing healthcare. People could tend to be shocked about how maybe radical Obama's ideas were from time to time. He said he was going to do all this stuff. He laid it out there and people voted for him. Then they saw these actual policies that sound really good in your ear and they feel really good in your bones. And then you see them in action and you're like,
not what I expected.
Not really more affordable. I didn't get to keep my doctor. And this definitely is a tax. You take more and more policies like that, or you expand this idea of what the United States of America is to people who don't necessarily get to have the requirement to understand exactly what makes us great in the first place. So you spend 8 years doing that and people go, this change wasn't the change that I wanted. Maybe I still want change from what it was before. I think we could agree that the healthcare system was broken initially in 2008 and it needed a change and still does. But that change was not the right way to go. It was not productive. It wasn't what we needed. So we need to do something else. Donald Trump puppets the entire industry of news coverage in the United States, and I'd argue outside of the United States. Whether you love him or hate him, he has it on his string, and none of these other candidates can even sway a conversation where they want it to go. They've got to beg and scream and literally stand on the top of bars.
And then apologize for it.
Yes.
If they did anything wrong, apologize for it.
So until they get to the point where they have that attention that has been granted to them by the American people, I just don't know that Trump is going to be that threatened by any of these candidates. As the stage dwindles down to fewer and fewer people, that might be different. That might change. But know that in the way that they attacked Sarah Palin, in the way that they will continue to attack Donald Trump, in the way that they continue to attack Brett Kavanaugh, you will need to have the thickest of thick skins to support the conservative movement, the constitutional movement in this country. Brett Kavanaugh certainly do that. We're going to talk to Molly Hemingway about it when we return.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh has been hit by a newly reported sexual misconduct accusation. Today's New York Times reports a former Yale classmate tried to tip off senators and the FBI last year, but according to the paper, the FBI did not investigate.
CBS reporting on the latest in the saga of Brett Kavanaugh. Just when you thought you watched all of the seasons on Netflix, they just come out with one extra one. And here we are talking about Brett Kavanaugh once again. It's quite shocking. You go over the weekend, you pay attention to the news a little bit less maybe than you do during the week. And every Sunday evening, I pull up the news and I think, all right, what are we talking about this week? And when I see the name Brett Kavanaugh pop up, I go, what in the world? How do we get to that point? Well, someone who knows quite a bit about this, Molly Hemingway joins us now. She's a Fox News contributor, but she's also co-author of Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation and the Future of the Supreme Court. Molly, it's great to have you on the show with us today.
Great to be here with you.
So I have to ask you, I've been reading some of the articles covering these new allegations, and it seems as though they buried the lead on these allegations. I don't know if this is a victimless crime or what the actual goal is here, but when you saw this headline come out with the New York Times, what was your initial reaction to that information?
Well, I want to first of all note that they claim that there are new allegations. They are neither new nor actually allegations. So the New York Times had an excerpt from an upcoming book that was out where they suggested that there was someone who'd heard from someone else that he had seen something happen. And so that's the basis of the claim that there's a new allegation that was already reported to Senate Democrats, and they didn't even take it seriously enough to pass it along to the whole Senate Judiciary Committee last year. But also what the excerpt in the New York Times left out was extremely significant. And it is in the book, which I read, which is that the alleged victim of this incident, if you can call it that, says she has no recollection of anything like this happening. So there's nothing really to say. It's an allegation that doesn't even make sense physically, and then it doesn't have an actual person who claims that she's victimized, and it's based on hearsay. So the idea that you would have the media run wild with this is absurd. Although I would also note that when we wrote our book, Justice on Trial, we predicted just this type of thing happening, because it's what you've seen in the past when people try to take out a Supreme Court justice. They continue the fight after they've lost it. They want to tarnish the person, and they will be relentless about it. So we are not surprised in any way that this came out.
We're speaking with Molly Hemingway, author of Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation, and the Future of the Supreme Court. The victim, or the purported victim in this story, as the New York Times would have the American people believe, or their readers believe, is this woman, has she been seeking justice? Has she been asking for an investigation, or is this people doing this on her behalf?
Again, she says she has no memory of the incident. Mm-hmm. So no, she is not. This is, it's absurd that we're even talking about it. Even there is no evidence that this thing even happened. The woman who was supposedly victimized has told several friends she has no memory of this. She's not talking to reporters and wouldn't talk to reporters about something that she says didn't happen. But that the New York Times felt liberated to run such a smear, such an attack on someone, I think is significant. And the significance is that this is part of a really just, you know, what same thing we saw last year. Unsupported, uncorroborated allegations that are debunked, and then they move on to the next one. So in this case, the authors of this book admit that there's no supporting evidence for Christine Blasey Ford's allegation. They are unable to find any supporting evidence for the already debunked Deborah Ramirez allegation. So then they move on to saying that there's this other story, and it's all that they have. It is ridiculous and absurd that people are doing this, and I think people are growing very weary of it. Like there's no stopping what they will be doing to this person, even though there's no evidence. But newspapers should traffic in evidence and facts, not insinuations based on supposed victims who say that they are not a victim.
So just to be clear, Molly, has there ever been any factual evidence found by any investigators anywhere that Brett Kavanaugh did in fact do something nefarious, illegal, or inappropriate with any of his accusers?
There's not even evidence, for instance, that he has met Christine Blasey Ford, much less that what she claimed happened happened. There's not even evidence at that level. When a professional sex crimes prosecutor looked into it, she told Senate Republicans last year, there's not enough evidence to convict this person, but there's not even enough evidence to get a search warrant. There's no evidence. And then on the other side of the ledger, you have decades of reputation built up through hard work and good character with just tons of people willing to speak to this person's credibility. He went through 6 FBI background checks. He was a federal judge for 12 years, known for his good temperament. He's well-regarded in his community. So not only is there no evidence, there's this, you know, and we interviewed more than 100 people in our book, Justice on Trial. We do not sugarcoat anything. We tell the full story of what was going on with the confirmation process, what people think of Justice Kavanaugh. We go through the allegations and what evidence there is there. It's not just that there's nothing to these claims. It's that it's actually just getting absurd at this point. And yet it led the news last night. You know, it blasted on the New York Times. They did actually admit, they added a correction late last night that they forgot to mention that the supposed victim
did they forget? Did they forget? You know, honestly, you look at the media's responsibility in keeping this narrative going. It is the gift that keeps on giving because it's too hot for anybody else to touch. You don't want to be the person out there saying to not believe these women. So much to the point where we have Democratic candidates for the president who were part of those confirmation hearings, as well as others, who are calling for Kavanaugh's impeachment. Impeachment based on what?
To be clear, they're saying that a man should be impeached because a woman says she has no recollection of an incident that someone else supposedly told some people. I mean, it's so ridiculous. It boggles the mind. I do want to point out, too, that the real bombshell in the book, which I've read, confirms the reporting that we first had in Justice on Trial, which is that Christine Blasey Ford's primary witness, Leland Kaiser, lifelong liberal Democrat, says she does not believe her friend Christine Blasey Ford. So that's an actual blockbuster. That's an actual thing that should be reported in the New York Times. They hid that and went with this ridiculous, absurd, physically bizarre, impossible allegation that the alleged victim denies instead. That's not what a news outlet does. That's what a propaganda outlet does. And it's, you know, it's really disgusting.
Well, people can read your blockbuster book here that you co-authored along with Carrie Severino. It's called Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation and the Future of the Supreme Court. I'd encourage people to follow Molly at MZ Hemingway on Twitter. The link to the Amazon where you can purchase the book is right there. Last question before I let you go, because we really do appreciate your time here today, is the Kavanaugh confirmation process, the way we nominate and confirm Supreme Court justices, all the way to the place where we need to make sure that we do take legitimate accusations that sound like what Christine Blasey Ford was saying and accusing Kavanaugh of. We need to take these allegations seriously, which is why they should not be made lightly or used for political advantage. How much have we hurt our process of nominating Supreme Court justices by politicizing the Kavanaugh confirmation for future justices in this country?
Right. Well, first off, these allegations were taken incredibly seriously. They were thoroughly investigated. The amount of time that Senate investigators put into investigating these things, plus the FBI, was really remarkable. There was no evidence to support any of the allegations. But you raise an interesting point, which is the politicization of the Me Too movement. It is, of course, important that bad treatment of women by powerful men be taken seriously and that people be held accountable. It is also true that when people make allegations against men, that they have evidence to support those allegations. That is, you know, a big theme of Justice on Trial, our book, that it wasn't just about this man being on trial, but the very notion of justice, due process, whether people are considered innocent until proven guilty or whether just it's taken as an article of faith that political opponents must be guilty, as seemed to be the case with so many powerful people last year. It is bad for women if you politicize this movement, as it has been done, and it leads to a lack of justice. It's also bad for people who are falsely accused. And to this point, I don't think people have been held accountable for what they did to Justice Kavanaugh, what they did to his reputation, and the real harm they caused him. Some people were referred for criminal prosecution to the Department of Justice, but to my knowledge, nothing has been done to those people who made false claims.
Real quick, Molly, before I let you go, you do this on a daily basis through your Twitter account, and I've seen you do it as well on cable news, but holding this media accountable for their part in this process of driving the agenda here on a political basis, is there any way that the media will ever fully be held accountable for their role in this as well?
The media are getting worse every day. They are, it's scary actually how much worse they are now than they even were a couple years ago when they had their dramatically bad performance during the 2016 campaign. So I don't know exactly how they need to be held accountable. They should not be giving each other awards and promotions for their bad coverage. I think that to some extent they're being held accountable by the fact that people outside of certain bubbles don't even take them seriously anymore, and they are lacking credibility, and that shows in polls of people about their view on the media. So they are hurting themselves by not staying focused on facts instead of pushing false narratives.
Molly Hemingway, author of Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation and the Future of the Supreme Court, also a Fox News contributor. So great to have your insight on this issue. I couldn't wait to talk to you, so glad we could fit you in.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Absolutely. You as well. You can follow her on Twitter at MZ Hemingway. And she last time she was on the show, I believe she said she was raised by her mother was from St. Louis, but she has some St. Louis connections there. She's a Cardinals fan too. So it's pretty cool to have her on here. Katie and I were talking about her a little bit when we got to book her, and we both agree she's kind of BA.
She is so cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She knows her stuff.
Yeah.
Totally.
Doesn't mess around.
Absolutely. I mean, the way that she on her Twitter account will call out, she doesn't really weigh in on the story specifically that's being reported on, but she'll just call out the way it's being reported on. And it becomes quickly very clear that whatever the facts of said story are, that it's not important for the American people to receive the story and then make their own judgment call on how they feel about it. It's all in presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredibly irresponsible. And I just appreciate that she's out there on a regular basis and calling that out.
Well, she makes a great point there at the end about how much the media is damaging itself by reporting this, and how people, she said that they're being held accountable in some degree as people just not believing what they write anymore. And my biggest question is why? What is in it for the New York Times and the Washington Post and MSNBC, which we did that story about Crystal Ball earlier? What is in it for them to run with a story that's negative, that without getting the facts right, without doing the proper background, without knowing, and probably knowing that it's really not a legitimate story? Like, what is it? Do they just hate this? They have this like derangement syndrome so bad.
I think they want to get to it first.
They hate the president?
Yeah, I think they hate the president and they want to get to it first.
It doesn't seem to be doing them any good. It doesn't seem to be getting people. It doesn't seem to be changing anybody's minds. It doesn't seem to be pulling people their direction. It just, they're starting to just look petty.
I think that's almost jumping the shark. I think that there was maybe lightning in a bottle there for a moment where the reality television that you used to watch on your network in the evening, your favorite network in the evening, has now been shifted into like the reality TV of politics and of news and of information. But, you know, that shark jumping is large. And I think that people are starting to go, okay, I've really had enough of this. All right, two things when we come back. Joe Biden in a street fight and fat shaming. Maybe different stories. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.